Mark chapter 9. So if you're here this morning and you just think that Sunday school is just it's just kind of the precursor to Sunday morning worship, you would be partially right. Because we aim at different things. We try to speak to your mind a little bit. We try to speak to your heart a little bit. We try to make you feel unworthy so that you can come and worship. We try to make you feel blessed so that you can be thankful. Sometimes we try to even make you feel a little bit ignorant so that you'll want to learn. It's not that we hate you, it's that we love you, and this is what church is all about. And so by the time we get to Sunday night, I tell you, everything that you come through on Sunday morning is worth it when you come to Sunday night, because that's when you can worship God, and you've already absorbed it up here, you've already absorbed it down here, and then Sunday night is just a great time to worship and really enjoy the Lord. So we're in Mark chapter 9 in teen class, and we've been moving through the Gospel of Mark. The life of Christ, I believe, is very important for any young person to know. There's tons of character in it, and then just seeing who Jesus was. We are discovering with every page we turn, we really don't know who Jesus is. We just had thought that he was this guy, and we thought, you know, we just had this picture of him, maybe from a coloring book somewhere, and that's not who Jesus is. We have a memory verse on the front of it. Mark chapter 9, verse 35 is in the middle of our story, of our passage. It says that Jesus, "And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, If any man desire to be..." And so normally when we have a blank, we get up there, I'm going to leave an awkward silence till somebody fills it in, all right? So I will try it again. I should have let you know that to start with. "If any man desire to be..." There we go. "First, the same shall be... of all." Boy, that's hard to swallow. You want to be first, you have to be last. But not just last in this crowd. Not just last of the people you know, last of all. And then he says this, "and servant of all." Servant of all? You mean I have to serve you? You mean you have to serve me? And you have to enjoy it? Well, he didn't say I had to enjoy it, but that seems like a stretch. Well, what's he talking about? We're going to get into it this morning. There's our memory verse. Who would happen to know our memory verse from last week, or can at least point to it in the chapter? Memory verse from last week. If one of you adults raises your hand, I will be highly impressed. Anybody even know where it's at in the chapter? Well, you see what we're working with sometimes. It's a little bit hard. Sunday morning's early. Do we have even a handout from last week? Xavier, what year is it? No, Malik, I'm sorry. What year is it? See? We have to really stretch to get to... There is a pulse, all right? Anybody? Come on, guys, we got to pray. I know that you're looking. It's got to be there. Where is it? What is it? No. 24. That's it. 24. "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." All right. That was the fastest Bella has ever read that chapter in her life. All right. Very good. Let's pray. Lord, as we come to start to read your word this morning, we've kicked around a lot of things this morning. Pray, God, that we would focus now on our time to read your word. God, please help us this morning to realign our thoughts. Our thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are our ways your ways. Lord God, we so desperately need your help this morning, and God, we confess, Lord, that we have not thought right this week, and Lord, maybe we have been even deceived. Maybe a pastor came along and sent something to our inbox, and it sounded so good, Lord, but God, please help us to only focus on the truth. You said, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." Lord, we look to these holy words, and we need sanctified this morning. So work in our hearts, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. All right, so we're in Mark chapter 9. We're going to begin in verse 30, and we'll just read the passage down through here, through verse 40. And so the second page in the handout's got a few blanks there. We'll read the chapter first, and then we'll go through them. Verse 30 now. "And they departed thence and passed through Galilee, and he would not that any man should know it. Something we've discovered about Jesus is that he never desired fame. He never desired a big name. But because of what he did, he couldn't help it. That's exactly opposite of the way anybody works today. If you find somebody putting up anything from the Big Jesus tent, that's been around for like the last 10 years, or maybe a gospel sing somewhere. What they do is they'll make flyers and they'll put it on a website and they'll push and push and push for it. That's, we're going to have a tent meeting, we make a flyer for it, and we try to get people to come. What Jesus did, he says, well, we're going to have a meeting, I don't care who shows up. But after the first night, he never had to worry about there being a crowd. Because what happened, they said, we can't not talk about this. And that's how the gospel is supposed to work. If it finds a resting place in your heart, it's too good to keep quiet. If somebody in here won the lottery, I don't know why I'm looking at Brother Brown, but if somebody in here won the lottery, I'd hope you were my best friend. But you know what would happen next week? Next week, you win the lottery. Next week, Pastor preaches on gambling. No. Next week, what would happen is you would show up to church and everybody would notice a nice, shiny new car. And they would say, whoa, nice car. Maybe it wasn't to it. Maybe the other one needed replacing and everything, but they would notice something was strange. And then you would step out of that car. And it would be like Phil Robertson stepping out of the Duck Dynasty limousine. And there would be bling everywhere. And you would have your own theme music, probably, playing in the background, You would have grown a beard, because anybody that's wealthy has a beard. Or anybody that wishes they were wealthy. No, I'm just kidding. All right, you would probably look the best you'd ever looked in your entire life. There would be bling where there had never been bling before. Your shirt and tie combo would be exquisite. I mean, Brother Matthews would be impressed. It's hard to impress Brother Gary Matthews, let me tell you. But when you catch his attention, he says, "Whoa, that is a I can't even remember the name of the tie there. An Oscar. What's the name of that tie? Oscar somebody?" De Laurent, yeah, that's it. I have one tie like that. I got it from him, though, all right, just so everybody knows. But that tie probably costs more than the suit I wear with it. But you have one thing there, and your suit and tie combo, you walk into church and everybody says, wow, you are. And you know what? You would also not be, you would not feel like you had to just fit in anymore. You wouldn't care. You know what you would like to do? You would like for Pastor to have the offering brought to the front again, because you would like to stand up there and flip out $100 bills and let everybody watch you as you drop them in there, and you wouldn't even miss them. You see, what would happen is that when you found a treasure that valuable, you couldn't keep it to yourself. None of us could, which is probably why the Lord keeps most of us from winning the lottery, because He knows we don't have any self-control. When you find the gospel and you realize that no matter what you do from now to eternity, it won't change God's love for you. Boy, how much freedom you get to live that way. You know, Jesus, Paul says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free. You realize it doesn't matter who's president or who will be president. It doesn't matter what mask mandates or not mandates. It doesn't matter whether, death, life, angels, principalities, you know that between you and God there's not a cloud in the sky, and you have a direct relationship with Him, and you are a child of the King. You realize how that changes everything? Or at least it ought to. So that's a couple verses. This is how teen class usually rolls. This is why we're late, all right? It usually helps if somebody reads it for me. So where are we at? I think we've passed verse 30. Let's read verse 31. For he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that he is killed shall rise the third day. This is not news they wanted to hear. Look at verse 32. But they understood not that saying, and were afraid to ask. This is the first section here. We've got to understand that what's happened in this, the beginning of this chapter, Peter, James, and John have just witnessed the transfiguration. They got to see God as He is. They got to see the Lord Jesus Christ, I should say, as He is in heaven. And they got to see Him like nobody's ever got to see Him in Revelation. You get a little picture of it, but one day we'll see Him, and He won't look anything like what the paintings show. He will be unlike anything you've ever seen before, and they got to see that. they were in a special place. And after that, they came down and there were some disciples, and they were struggling with casting the devil out. And Jesus shows up on scene and basically clears up everything. I mean, what happened with this devil was so amazing. Was this devil? They said he is a dumb spirit. Not that kind of dumb, Miss Nani. All right, the kind of dumb that says you can't speak. As soon as I said dumb, she goes, "Well, of course, they're all dumb." Anyways, but he wasn't just dumb. He was a deaf spirit. You know what God had to do? You know what the Lord Jesus had to do for this devil to get him out of this guy? All the disciples were walking around saying, "Get out of him! By the name of Jesus Christ, get out!" And the devil's looking at him going, "He can't hear." God had to create hearing in an evil spirit so that he could order him to get out. Now, I don't know what you think of as flair and what you think of as just omniscience, but that's pretty omnipotent to me. Does it say, you know what? There's a devil here that can't hear. I'm going to give him his hearing back so that I can tell him to get lost. I mean, that's God. You know, that's not any Catholic priest walking in somewhere and sprinkling somebody with water trying to exorcise them. This is God. They see this, and so they are renewed faith in who Jesus is, and they understand that He is something else. They start the chapter basically in heaven. They are in heaven. Now, symbolically, they see a little bit of heaven. They get to see God's power. That's all those things that are in heaven. The Bible says they saw the kingdom of God come with power. All right? By the time you get to the end of the chapter, you end with three verses that say, "Where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched." You end the chapter in hell. And in between heaven and hell here, now you have the disciples, and they're trying to understand how a God that's that powerful now is saying, I've got to be put to death. And they don't like what they're hearing, and indeed no sinner likes to hear that their sin is so bad somebody had to pay for it. So where we find ourselves today, we're not in heaven, we're not in hell, despite what you might be thinking right now. This is just teen class. We're not in heaven, we're not in hell. But somewhere in between, we've got to understand the mind of God. This is what the disciples struggled with. And the first thing was when the Lord told them something they didn't understand, there's wrong reactions you can have. I've got three wrong reactions. The disciples were disagreeable. They were disagreeable with each other, and they were disagreeable with the Lord. They refused to learn anything new because they wanted what they wanted. And that's kind of where most of us fit. It doesn't matter where we're at. That's how advertisers can sell us stuff. It's not that they're reinventing the wheel. They just give you what you want. They know you want it, so they give you what you want. The Lord is the exact opposite of any retailer that's out there. He knows what you need, and He's going to present it without any flair, without any frivolity, nothing extra. Just say, "Hey, this is what you need." And we're going to say, "I didn't want that. I wanted something else." And the devil will have an ad campaign out to give you what you want, but God will give you what you need. It says the first place, this disagreement, why we have Sunday school, he said this disagreement made them too afraid to ask. Too afraid to ask. We do experience this in teen class. I know that not everything I say is crystal clear, and not everything I say is understood. Not everything I say is agreeable, sometimes by design. I know you wouldn't believe that. But not everything is agreeable. But whenever we open the floor for discussion, most of the time, we get nothing. And it's not because I'm such a great teacher, Miss Nani, that nobody ever has a question. Miss Nani, do you appreciate the classes that you taught where nobody said nothing? Be honest though. Did you ever have that kid that would always ask like nagging questions over and over and over? Like if you asked if anybody had a question, he was always the kid that would raise his hand. Did you ever have somebody like that? Did he learn anything? Okay, so he really wasn't concerned with what you said. He was okay. Well, that's going to come up here in a minute too. You know what I find most of the time when people don't have any questions to ask, they don't care what you said. It wasn't that they didn't understand, they didn't care, or they didn't agree, and so they figured, I'm not going to ask. I didn't like it, so therefore I'm not even going to try to clarify. We see that in meetings, work meetings. You lay out this plan. You know that there's holes in what you've presented, what the guys have to do and everything else. And you say, you guys got any questions? Like, nah, we got this. And you know what's going to happen later? Your phone's going to be blown up because they were just mad they had to do this job and they didn't want to get the details ahead of time. They'd rather get on the job and waste the time. I've been there, and I think you've been there too. And unfortunately, that bleeds into us trying to learn about the Lord. They were too afraid to ask. Why were they too afraid to ask? It's something I can't imagine. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 23, you might write that down. It's a companion to this. It says that they were sorry. They were sorry that he said that. Sorry that the Lord just told you the future? Sorry that the Lord said, hey, I'm going to be the propitiation for your sins, which is basically what he said. I'm going to go and be killed and rise again the third day. That is, although sad news, that's exactly what the world needed. And they said, oh man, I can't believe you said that. And the Lord knows they don't get it, but they won't talk to him about it. You know, if you don't get something, you ought to talk to the Lord about it. Go to him first, even before you go to the pastor, but don't steal up to God. Don't just give him the silent treatment. That only ever hurts you. Verse 33, let's move on. It says, and he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that ye disputed among yourselves? By the way, now get this. He tells them this. They are too afraid to ask, so they walk from Galilee to Capernaum, and it's a quiet trip. Nobody's saying nothing. I can go back and see text messages of people that I desired a relationship with and desired to be friends with, and what I see is question after, you know, what can you do? You send them question after question, you get these one-word answers. Sure, yep, fine, okay, or abbreviations, NP, IDK, you know, and that's it. And you say, well, you know, I'm not, you know, this is not like the CIA grilling somebody, you know, this is not waterboarding, I just want to find out, how'd your week go? But what you get is you just get this steely, quiet. And so here's the Lord, and he tells them a truth, and he's noticing, boy, nobody's walking with me. Nobody's talking with me. And so he's trying to make conversation. He says, what is it that you disputed among yourselves, by the way? So what were you guys talking about? It's like walking up on a crowd of teenagers, and they all go silent instantly as soon as the adult walks into the room. Hey, what you guys talking about? Nothing. You know, Cammy's so guilty right now. We also call out people in teen Sunday school. They were not only too afraid to ask, but they were disputing. They were angry with each other, and they were too angry even to answer the Lord. That's the second thing. They were too angry to answer. Too angry to answer. It says, verse 34, but they held their peace. You can be rude to a lot of people. And you can be rude to sometimes you can be rude to the right people. Some people need to be rude. You need to be rude too. But you shouldn't be rude to the Lord. They held their peace. Peter looks at James and John looks at Nathaniel, and Nathaniel looks over and to the Lord. Can you imagine that? These are his 12 disciples. These are the 12 guys that would go with him to wherever. And they're not talking to him. They're mad. They're mad at each other, and they're mad at him. It says, for they had, by the way, had they had disputed among themselves who should be the greatest. Well, there's a dumb conversation. Now, here's the deal. They never told him. But then what does he do in verse 35? He sat down. It's almost like he's having a Sunday school class. He's like, okay, guys, gather around. We're gonna have an object lesson. Everybody get in close. Now the Lord gets. I imagine this being just a little bit slightly demeaning to 12 grown men, but that's not below the Lord, because these guys were acting like children, weren't they? Were they not? Doesn't it seem like they were just throwing a little bit of a fit? He already knows what's going on in their heads, and he just decides now he's going to exercise a little bit of that omniscience, that omnipresence, that godliness that's in him, and he says, look, I already know what you're thinking. Come here, let me tell you. That's the difference between the Lord and every without the Bible, you can just get told, they guess, they gain the time, is what Daniel says. They try to tell you what you want to hear. It's like a fortune cookie that means something different to everybody. But when you come to church and they preach the Bible, it's saying, I don't care what you thought coming in here. I don't care what you were going through coming in here. This is what God said, and it's exactly what you need to change your mind to agree with. And that's exactly what the Lord does. He sits them down, and he calls the 12 and says unto them, we're in verse 35, if any man desire to be the first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child, verse 36, and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he said unto them, whosoever shall receive one of such children in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth not me, but him that sent me. The disciples had been guilty of sending kids away from Jesus before, and the Lord knew exactly where to get to him. I believe Peter was probably, him and his wife, they probably hadn't had kids at this point. Because kids change a lot of things for you. He still was thinking he knew what life was about. They hadn't had their first child yet, obviously. You think you know a lot of things before you have your first child. And these 12 guys out there running around batching it with Jesus, and he says, guys, you don't know the first thing. You don't know the first thing. They were too angry to answer. You know, the Bible says a man hath joy by the answer of his lips. I believe that's Proverbs 15, verse 23. When you refuse to talk to God and you refuse to get right with God, it robs you of your joy. And everybody can see that. And it's a sad thing to see. And what it is, it's just saying, we're not on talking terms. It's where, you know, I don't need to come to the altar. I don't need to pray. This message is not for me. And you just basically you tell God, I don't want to ask and I don't want to tell you nothing. And the Bible says you have joy when you just be honest with God. And if you are not honest with God, you don't have any joy. You can't have it. Last thing here, and we'll be done. Verse 38. It gets worse. John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. So John now he's been rebuked and his pride's hurt, and so he thinks he's going to try to redeem himself. He's going to do something good for Jesus, right? He says, we found this guy and he's casting out devils and he followeth not us, and so we forbade him because he followeth not us. It's almost like my dog when he runs out in the yard and he grabs a piece of trash and he comes running back with it. And he's like, didn't I do good? Didn't I do good? Didn't I do good? You know, and he's got this piece of nasty garbage that he found sitting out there. And I'm like, go put that back. Nobody wants that. This is almost what John's doing. He just thinks he's doing such a great thing. And the Lord's like, get away from me. Here's what Jesus said in verse 39. Jesus said, forbid him not. Exact opposite. He just smacks him on the head. Bad dog. What is wrong with you? Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me, for he that is not against us is on our part. They were too ashamed of their failures to accept somebody else's successes. They were too ashamed to accept. That's the last one. They were too ashamed of what they'd done wrong to let anybody else do anything good. Guys, I want to tell you that we need Sunday school because we need to get our thinking realigned, because if this attitude gets into the church, it'll just termites just eat it right from the inside out. No communication with God, disagreement with each other, and when somebody else does something for God, the only thing we can do is tell them no and tell them how they didn't do it right. Jesus said, I wish that everybody was doing what that guy did. You guys couldn't cast the devil out. Apparently this guy's got something you don't have. I'd wonder who this guy is. I'd like to meet him someday. I think we will. That's the extent of teen class this morning. So we're down to verse number 40. And the rudest they could be is what I named this. And just things to be warned of that will damage your relationship with Jesus Christ, which no matter what Pastor Isker says, is the most important thing in your life. All right? Let's pray.